bowing, and I try to drop my neighbors.
How are you?
And I get more out of that.
So is it a boy or a girl?
It's a boy.
It's a
boy.
A boy.
For 2 more minutes.
I've been watching the Crown on Netflix. So why don't we get started? Is that okay? It's good. It's addictive.
Thanks everybody for coming a little early. I find our meeting schedule already as burdensome as it is. Don't want to add any more burden to people, so I just wanted to take just like 10, 5, maybe minutes before our first meeting to just try to make sure that everybody's on the same page. If anybody has any questions, we can go over them quickly just before we get started. So, first and foremost, I think you guys, especially I'm kind of directing a lot of my comments to you guys, Chris and Andrea and Maria, welcome, first of all. I know you guys have gotten some training about the whole land use role. It's a little confusing. It takes a little bit of time for us to all figure out, you know, how we kind of do that role in an effective way, in a way that we feel comfortable with. We've got both an advocacy role as legislators, but also this kind of judging, kind of judicial role as the special permit granting authority. So. At times, it can be a little confusing both to the public, but also sometimes to our colleagues. We deal with it a lot, obviously, in land use, so sometimes when we get to the full council, we have to kind of remind our colleagues about how we address these issues. But primarily, the zoning ordinance has lots of rules, and within that, though, there are allowable kind of permissions that can be provided by special permit. Now, they're different from exceptions, per se. Exceptions are really waivers that you have to go to the Zoning Board of Appeals for. So we're not saying, you know, we're not making something up that anybody can't come in and just try to do anything in front of us. There's some very specific things that they can be allowed to do with a special permit. So that's a distinction that's hard to make, and a lot of the public sometimes don't get that distinction either. They say, I don't know why you're making a special, you know, allowance here when, And so it's envisioned in the ordinance, it's allowed in the ordinance, it just, there's certain standards, and the standards are a little hard because they're just words, right? So it's not numbers. So, you know, we often are extending a non-conforming use, you'll see that tonight, a couple of the petitions in front of us. The standard for that is that it's not substantially more detrimental than the allowable use. More than the current use. So what is substantially more detrimental? It's kind of a, gotta learn the feel of that. So I certainly have, I'm still learning what that is. You know, definitely look to my colleagues for what they feel is substantially detrimental, more detrimental, but it's kind of common sense as well. It's like, well, how, like, let's say 2 more cars out of 200 cars, how is that, you know, that's probably not substantially more detrimental, whereas 2 more cars over 4 cars, that's probably, you know, somewhere close. You can get a sense that way. So just want to make sure that we all kind of remember that that's our role, that we have this kind of quasi-judicial role. We have 2 hats. Sometimes people will say, you're my alderman, you're my counselor, you should be fighting for me. And you can always respond, I am fighting for you, but I'm doing it in my role as kind of a special permit granting authority. I have to also fight for what's right and make the rules fit, you know, have to enforce the rules in a fair manner. And sometimes that's frustrating to us if we want to advocate for our constituents. Sometimes it's liberating because you can kind of do the right thing. And but you just need to always be reminded of that role that we have. And it's kind of unusual that we have it. And Newton is one of the few cities, I don't know how many cities and towns there are that have the special permit granting authority in the legislative branch. It's kind of a source of a lot of frustration in the development community. So,
In other cities and towns, the it's appointed, you know, by the mayor. It's a separate. It takes the depoliticizes your decisions. And that's the line that we walk. There's three criteria. Can you guys remind us that we're supposed to follow? And one of them isn't do what the citizens want you to do. What are the three criteria? Not substantially
detrimental. Affect the neighborhood.
Right. The other two?
Will not adversely affect the neighborhood. Yep. A nuisance or a serious hazard to vehicle pedestrians is one that is usually in there. And access to the site over streets appropriate type
That's
of
right.
number of vehicles.
Now, I will tell you that if we don't follow those criteria and just do what the neighbors want, we can get sued. They will win. We will lose. That has happened to us in the past with some pretty big...
But not for a long time.
Items.
We've been...
We've
all been on this committee for the last 2 years, and I think we've...
I've been on for 14 years.
Yeah, you've been on a long
and
time.
Earlier, way back, we had issues, and we started reminding everybody constantly of those three criteria, and to make sure, and that's when we started saying if you're going to vote against something, it's very controversial that a lawsuit may be coming down the way, or anytime you stand up and you say why...
Right.
Because we didn't do that, I think it was with Stop and
Shopping.
Yeah. And we had issues with it. So those are, and you're right. I mean, we can use that to say, I'm sorry, and I do it all the time. I can't blindly support you. I have a judicial hat I'm wearing here, and this is why, and I tell them. People are very grateful when they say, I didn't know that. Thank
yeah.
you for educating me. So,
what was the third thing that you read, Jake?
Access to the site over streets is appropriate for the types and numbers of vehicles involved.
And then there's a fourth criteria that's about energy efficiency and
that's only
natural
for
resources, but that's
bigger
a particular project.
You'll see in draft board orders, which we get from the planning department and legal department, it recites the criteria in there as the findings
mm-hmm.
that we have to make, and that's obviously a very helpful guide. And certainly on more controversial or bigger projects, we look to not only the planners but the legal department to give us a lot of advice and guidance as to what we can do, what factors we consider, and what factors we cannot consider. Like, you can't ask about, you know, the school population relating to a particular project. We just have to be careful, and you want to make sure that we have as Rick really rightly said, have a good record.
Now, there are other situations where we're acting more in our policy kind of legislative role, and that's usually with these zone changes. So that's an appropriate place to say, gee, I don't know if this is right for, you know, this particular part of the city. You know, maybe we should be thinking in a different way about this zone here. So that's often a little challenging because it's at the same time as we're doing a permit in that particular area for that particular project. But we have tried to distinguish that in the past. So there's that. Then also for the new members, so you know, there's one person from each ward on the committee, which is, you know, great because we have enough, right? We have 24, so we can do that. But what that's great also is that we kind of look to, with each project, you'll see it's in somebody's ward, so we will look to the ward counselor to kind of be a bit of a guide. You know, we all know the city, obviously, but you know your area the best, right? You might be more in touch with what some of the issues are in that area, what some of the, you know, the traffic on that street is really bad, or this is going to be a real nuisance, or whatever. So definitely we will look to you to kind of, you know, sometimes add to the discussion with some local knowledge, just by kind of our routine. We if you're there, if when it's time for a motion to close the public hearing, we look to you to make that motion. So if it's a Ward 1 project, say, is there a motion to close the public hearing? Ward 1 says, yes, make that motion, and then a motion to approve. And even when it's a project that might have some controversy, you might not even be ready to vote for it, we often will vote to close the public hearing and vote to move the item and then have a discussion about the board order, and we try to take pains to make the order a workable order. Even if you oppose it, we will try to pass that and get it to the floor, and then you can vote against it. So, and you can vote against it in committee. That's not a problem, but we will work on the order and try to get something to the board, to the full council. Did you want to add to that?
No, I was just going to, maybe the two of you can just talk a little bit, if it's helpful to the others, about kind of the, how you're going to plan, you run the public hearings, the whether you talk to developers or not talk to developers or petitioners, and different people with different views on that. So that maybe you guys want to provide some discussion.
Right. Well, so as far as running the public hearings, I don't think we're going to make any changes to how it's been done in the last couple terms. Mark did a great job running the hearings, ran them quite efficiently, got us through some pretty, you know, controversial items. The petitioner usually will make a presentation. We'll try to limit that up, you know, to the appropriate amount of time. We don't want it to take, you know, 2 hours, but we also don't want it to be so brief that we don't have enough information about it, and that the public who's here don't have enough information about it. Then we'll ask the planning department to make a bit of a presentation from their memo, as well as that's helpful to the public who might not have heard, and there might be parts of the memo that you might not have understood, so, or gotten to read, so it's always helpful for the members as well. And then we usually will open it up to the public comment at that point. We can certainly continue to do that. We will, I think we're planning to continue to do that. We've tried to limit each public comment to about 3 minutes. Sometimes people want to go on further. I mean, we try to enforce that as well as we can, because there, we have a lot of items, as you know, and we don't do very good work after a certain period of time has been spent. People can always submit further comments by writing an email. And that said, we don't want to spend our whole meetings taking public comment, and so hopefully we'll be able to get enough time for us to discuss the item as well. And so we'll try to balance that. If, you know, if any of you think that we're taking too long on public hearing part, just kind of give me a high sign or something. I'll try to be sensitive to that as well.
The reminders to people that if somebody's already said what you want to say, please, you know,
I'll try to remind
it
them.
It never
that
works.
It never works either, yeah.
What if somebody says something really poignant, we say, raise your hand if you agree with this person. Okay, we got it.
Or repeatedly.
Actually, not a terrible idea, by the way.
I was thinking about that.
It's been one of my
you
thoughts.
You know, because a lot of people just want to raise their hand and say, that's what I believe. And they'll come up and talk if they don't get that chance. So, I don't know.
I do want to move into the chamber for the in a second, but two other things. The one last thing is what Mark had alluded to. You know, everybody has their own kind of way of dealing with requests for your time. Certainly, when it's a policy or a legislative item, you also have choices about whether to meet with people or not. With these public with these special permit petitions, just be aware that when somebody is asking to talk to you about it, and it's already in front of us, it's already become an item, and it's being discussed, you should be very aware of the of making it clear that you've had that conversation. So some people just avoid having those conversations, especially with petitioners, because mm-hmm. they feel that that could kind of have the implicit impression that there's some kind of backroom dealing. At the same time, if you're meeting with constituents about it, that could also be the impression that, you know, you're kind of being unduly influenced by the people in your neighborhood or people who care deeply about this. So everybody has a different way of doing it. Sometimes I certainly have I've helped facilitate meetings between the developer or the petitioner and the mm-hmm. and the neighbors, and then been there to listen, tried to guide it sometimes as kind of trying to be a fair umpire. Sometimes I've listened on the phone. Somebody's calling me, and I've gone ahead and listened. I haven't really sought out like outside meetings, and I'll continue to not do that as chair because I think it's important for that not to be the image. But if you have and you feel that one way to address that would just be to say it at the next hearing that just for the sake of transparency, I met with the developer twice, and they presented these things to me. I met with the neighborhood three times, and they presented these things. So I know Rick has been doing this for a long time.
Just to add to that, one thing I will do, well, as long as the public hearing is open, is try not to completely tell somebody, developer or constituent, how you feel. You know, as long as it's open, well, thank you. I'll make my mind up when when we're done deliberating, but not in any of that. But I see myself as a conduit in the whole process, and neighbors are going to call, and they're going to tell you how they feel, and we get emails from them. So I think we do owe it to the developer to also be available. And the only time I leave my office and go sit for a presentation is on something huge, where they bring in the three councils from the ward because they want to get some feedback if they should do this at all, or are they crazy, or what do you think? And they're looking for feedback. They're not looking to buy you off or influence you. This is what I see. I mean, the last time I was out of my office was going to look at the Northland. This was almost a year ago, because these guys are like, you know, we want to show you this because people are going to be talking, and it's important because, you know, a week or two before, people are calling and asking me what's going on, and I didn't even know until I sat with them. So it's okay to do. It's not something you're going to do all the time, and we're all busy people. We're not going to have extra meetings because developers have called me and I've said, great, good to know. I'll see you at the public hearing. I can't wait for your presentation. And that's it. There's no reason to double up.
Rick, there's a difference between before someone's filed a project, when it's very common for a developer and anything large to want to sit down with the three ward councils.
That's what I'm talking about.
Versus after it's been filed, and legally it's different because it's not a real project before us. I just think we all want to be extraordinarily careful in this area. There's a lot of money at stake for these folks. Some of the projects we get in front of us are exceptionally controversial. I have to think one of the benefits of a larger council is that it's harder for people to cut deals and do things that might not otherwise be seen to be appropriate. But just have your antenna up. That's all I'd say. And I think the lawyers and the developers in the city, I hope, know that we play fair by the rules and above board, but just be careful. I think this is
use your Newton MA email address.
Yeah.
When I first got elected, everyone was always emailing my personal email address, and it drives me crazy because if it goes to court, they can
subpoena your personal.
They've made that really clear to us.
Yeah, we got that in the orientation.
Always direct everything to you.
And one of the things I say is, if you think someone wants to meet with you and you feel it's all controversial, bring another counselor with you. You know, if bring another counselor, okay? Bring if someone says, Maria, I want to meet with you, say, yeah, Jake and I are really happy to go talk to you together.
Another land use counselor?
Yeah, I think it's helpful. I just think that, especially in something controversial, you want to be careful. And that's my personal view. I tend to be very conservative about these things.
And so do you recommend that we call the planning department to see if a project's been filed, double check?
No. It's more that if some developer, after a project's been filed, and the public hearing's been open, wants to have a conversation with you about it.
Oh, afterwards.
You should be really cautious about that.
If it's on the docket.
Yeah.
Mark, do you mean, does it have to be the public hearing is opened, or is it just that it's been docketed?
Once it's been docketed.
I think docketed, right?
Once docketing is kind of the act of, it's now a matter.
It's kind of like a court, you know, it's like, you know, meeting with the judge outside of
it is.
It's not exact, but
there's a
quasi.
It's a judgment call. I mean, Greg and Rick will talk to the attorneys all the time about process, and that's very appropriate. It's when they start talking about the substance of the project that you just got to be more careful. That's what I'd say. We all have somewhat slightly different views on it, and I think they're all appropriate. But I just think you want to be careful in this area.
For me, as a new person, I think your recommendation that we clarify that publicly, if there's and or call another counselor, land use, or somebody else to participate, or even I'm thinking I might just call some of you to say, so-and-so's trying to reach me, what do you think? And I'll get some advice from some of you more experienced people.
And sometimes, you know, if the developer wants to, or the petitioner, we don't mean to only say talk about developers, but, you know, one side wants to meet with you, you can always say, well, I could get you together with the other side, and I could listen while you both talk about it, you know, but that's not always what they want.
Keep it balanced.
So, yeah, let's move in to the chamber, and...